This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome to the Cassie Sobelton Show. This is a podcast focused on mind, body, and spirit wellness. I'm your host, Cassie Sobelton, a best-selling author, speaker, and wellness expert. You can find me online at CassieSobelton.com. Each week, we'll dive into a different wellness topic with a focus on teaching you how to achieve wellness realistically. No lofty goals, no over-the-top crazy diets. This is wellness for the real world. Just practical, easy suggestions and ways to improve your life. Thank you for listening. Now on to the show.
My house in Budapest, my hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beauty focus, EOU. Ooh, you, ooh, I leave it all.
Hello, welcome. This week I am joined by Priya Shaw. Priya has been with us in the past. She's back again, which I'm super excited about. Healing has been in Priya's blood from a very young age. Her journey began when she earned a master's degree from the University of Michigan in physical therapy and later became interested in a more holistic approach to healing as she overcame her own health challenges. Through her journey to holistic healing, she obtained the titles of yoga master, theta healing instructor, cranial sacral therapist, and nutrimetric consultant. Traveling the world, learning alternative healing modalities and integrating them into traditional physical therapy is her passion, which has led her to a profound understanding and healing of herself and others. Welcome, Priya.
Thanks, Cassie. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. We've had a couple podcasts together, and today we're talking about a pretty new subject, which I'm excited about, and that is wild mushrooms and mushroom hunting, which I know you have been on the forefront of for many years. So I'm really excited. I've learned a little bit about mushrooms here and there from friends, basically, who are really into this. You know, others. And then there's some really great books out there. And learning about the healing benefits of mushrooms has been, it's really taught me a lot. It's taught me a lot about what's actually possible and how many healing benefits there are. But most of those I would actually buy. I'd buy in powdered forms, you know, mostly online. David Wolf has some really great mushrooms, both chaga and reishi specifically, and I'll put those in my smoothies or actually even sometimes put them in different teas or coffees or those types of things. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about wild mushrooms and mushroom hunting. So we're here in Michigan, so I know the seasons might be different, you know, in different parts of the world, specifically north to south, you know, here in the United States. But why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started in this, you know, what you've learned from it and how someone, you know, could incorporate this into their life?
Yeah, well, thanks. That's a great question. Another great resource for online is Paul Stamens.
Okay.
And he makes a line called Host Defense. And they have all sorts of tinctures and really good combinations. And he's out in Washington, and he's on the forefront of also harvesting all organically grown and growing mushrooms.
So are these like liquid tincture type, droplets or little droppers?
Yep. And also he has pill forms, so he has both. Because, you know, the top droplets can have like an alcohol base, and some people don't want that. But he's, you know, done all sorts of amazing presentations about, I mean, he thinks mushrooms can save the world. And I don't know about saving the world, but I love mushrooms. And I use the word love because when I think and talk about mushrooms, my face lights up like a little kid lights up when they walk into a candy store.
Awesome.
I think of mushroom hunting as a huge treasure chest and like a treasure hunt, but you get to do the treasure hunt throughout the forest.
Right.
So you're just walking the forest, which is amazing. And then every time you find a mushroom, it's like finding a treasure. So that's just the fun.
That's how
of
I
it.
Feel when I'm in the grocery store.
Yeah. No, that's like the fun of it. You know, you're out and doing beautiful things. And also being a vegetarian, you know, there's so many ways to incorporate mushrooms as into food as like a meat substitute. And getting all the healing benefits. So I've always been attracted to mushrooms since I was little. I would go in the woods and, you know, my mom would always be like, stay away from the mushrooms, because mushrooms have been kind of like demonized, you know, when we're little. And it's because literally there is tons of mushrooms. And I wouldn't say, you know, go out and pick something, you have no idea, and eat it, you know, like unless I'm 100%. And I mean 100%, even if I'm 90%, I don't eat it.
But because they could be poisonous, you mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the, you know, poisonous takes on so many different levels, but this whole like demonization of mushrooms is just like an easy way, I think, for parents and people to just make it a non-topic, you know, stay away from mushrooms. But the truth is, there's a lot of really amazing mushrooms. And so what I do is I picked like 4 or 5 really easy starter mushrooms and that are easy to identify. There's no poisonous lookalikes and they're beautiful. And that's where I started looking for mushrooms. So a lot of people in Michigan start with morels. And I was kind of late in the game with morels. I didn't start doing morels till much later because the truth is morels are one of the most tastiest mushrooms, but they are, I think, one of the hardest mushrooms to find. And like 2 years ago, I went to a place, I found so much morels, I didn't even know what to do with. You know, I was on my hands and knees crawling because if I took a step, I was going to step on morels.
So how long is the morel season? I remember it being very short, like
a
week or two.
It was short, yep. And actually, then I had like a harvest. So a bunch of people, I think you were one of them, came up for Memorial Day. And mm-hmm. we had morel mushrooms with every meal.
That was the time I got addicted to morels.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely addicted. They're absolutely one of the best mushrooms I've ever had taste-wise.
Yeah. And they're
like
for
butter.
I know. They're for sure. Yeah. Well, that's probably because I put too much butter. So anyway, morels are early spring. You know, the seasons are all changing and they're so like, you know, we've had this crazy winter. But in general, you say maybe like early May, like around your celebration day.
My birthday?
Your birthday.
My birthday.
So around your birthday, that's time to go out and get morels. But it depends. Even like I do a lot of my morel hunting up northern Michigan. And so the morels there are coming like 2 weeks later than the morels down in we're in the Metro Detroit area. So even that difference of like about a few, so northern Michigan's on the 45th latitude. And so we're about, you know, 4 or 5 parallels lower than that. And that makes the biggest difference as far as a few weeks of, you know.
Interesting.
And morels are hard to find and they're hit or miss. I went to that same place where I found all those morels. The next year I went every, like 3 times a week I went and I did not find one morel.
That's because you took them all.
I know.
Actually, that's not true. Typically, they will show up in the same spot every year. Is that correct?
Typically. But, you know, the final rule with morels is they grow wherever they want to grow.
Right.
Everyone's got a theory, but then at the end of the day, it's or they grow wherever they want to grow.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there's this whole idea of inoculating, you know,
and
it's very, you can't really just grow mushrooms. You know, it's not like a garden. And we've talked about gardening on this podcast. And, you know, that's when you actually plant seeds or plant small, you know, vegetable plants and you grow them from there. This doesn't work the same way with mushrooms. You'd actually have to inoculate. And I know that sometimes, you know, with certain mushrooms, that's on dead logs. They'll tell you to inoculate to have them come, but it takes years for them to show up. I know what we've done up north. We went to Boyne, where my dad has a place, and we took the paper bags that Priya had used to, you know, put her mushrooms in, and we let the spores kind of go in those bags, and then we tried to inoculate his area, like all over his yard and all that. Of course, my dad's shaking his head at us, just like, what are these girls doing? Right. We're out there with them
crazy
paper bags.
Hippies.
Crazy hippies, yeah, my dad, oh, God. But hopefully, what, 5, 10, 20, 100 years? I have no idea. When did they show up?
It takes a while, and mushrooms are tree-specific. So even though that was a great idea in theory, you know, like morels really like cherries. They like apple trees. They like elms. So there's certain trees that each mushroom is drawn to.
Interesting.
Maitakes or hen of the woods, one of my favorite Michigan mushroom that's the most medicinal, I think, in Michigan. They love red oaks, oyster mushrooms. So every tree actually, in every mushroom, it's almost like a symbiotic relationship.
Okay.
And so, and it does take years. So if you put out spores for morels, maybe the earliest you'd see them, like 5 to 10 years later.
Okay, so it's possible.
It's possible.
I could still
everything's possible.
That's right, yeah.
But I mean, if you're looking at a big old growth oak, I mean, where I look for maitakes, or they're also called hen of the woods, so I'll use those words interchangeably. Maitake's the Japanese name. They're only found on very old oak trees, and the reason is because they take hundreds of years for the foundation of the mushroom, because the mushroom's the fruit, right? So people that say, oh, you shouldn't mushroom hunt, they don't quite understand what mushrooms are. The actual plant is underneath the earth or filling the whole tree. And it's not till the entire tree is filled with the mycelium, then it puts out a fruit. And so that fruit is the mushroom, and then you pick the mushroom.
And just like there's fruit that can be poisonous to you, and you shouldn't be eating fruit off of, you know, out wild that you don't know what it is, it's the same thing with mushrooms.
Right.
But it has such a bad rap sometimes,
you know? Such a bad rap. And there's different degrees. You know, there's some mushrooms that, you know, are quote-unquote poisonous. And what'll happen is for about a few hours, you won't be loving life. You'll kind of feel like you have a bad hangover, maybe a little bit pukey, and then it'll pass.
So a little bit like alcohol.
Right. Which is a toxin, you know. So, you know, but I don't think, you know, there's a few mushrooms in Michigan that have like, you know, this, they are deadly poisonous, and I'm not trying to make light of it. But I don't think we should focus on those. I think what we should focus on is the fact that 99% of them have amazing medicinal qualities, and it is a sustainable, you know, food where it's going to make mushrooms every year in theory. So you're not doing any damage to the ecosystem by taking the mushroom, and they taste fantastic.
They do.
And they're
especially
fantastic
with a lot of butter,
your,
like you said.
Yeah, for your body, you know, because they not only have natural vitamins, you know, it's a natural vitamin D source, which it's very hard to find vitamin D sources.
Yeah.
And mushrooms is one of the only foods that actually have a bioavailable source of vitamin D.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And they have where they get the immune modulation is with the long chain polysaccharides. So that's what really boosts up your immune system. But they have to be protecting their tree. So they have all these antibacterial qualities, antiviral qualities. And that's the way the mushroom excretes different, you know, components to make sure that it wins that tree. And so it keeps the other fungi away. So they even have antifungal components, even though they are themselves a fungus. Even, right, what is antibiotics, which we've kind of gone crazy with antibiotics in this world, but ultimately antibiotics is a mushroom.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a fungus.
Interesting. Wow, I like that. So if you had to come up with like the top four, top five mushrooms to look for, what would you suggest and why are you suggesting them?
Right. So I think all mushrooms have amazing healing qualities. And so I would pick mushrooms that are easy to identify and there's no poisonous lookalike. So in Michigan, morels are like, you know, they're almost like a religion here. So go out morel hunting just because it's something people do. But, you know, you'll spend all day and maybe you'll find one if you're lucky.
Right.
So, you know, it's not a lot of bang for your buck. But oyster mushrooms, they come just after the morels and they grow mostly on aspens. And they're really easy to see because a lot of times they grow at eye level. They're like a white and they're bright white. So when the trees are starting to turn green, they're bright white. So your eyes can just catch them really easily. And another way to learn about oyster mushrooms is a lot of these kind of whole, you know, Whole Foods or any of the natural food markets or even on the internet, you can buy grow kits.
Okay.
And you can grow like oyster mushrooms. So in the winter, I can get my wild mushroom fix by growing oyster mushrooms. They also have grow kits for maitakes. So that's a great way to learn the mushroom too when you grow it. And then when you see it in nature, oh yeah, you know, it's so easy to recognize because you know what the gills look like. You know, that's, you use a few main characteristics to identify the mushroom. You look at the way it grows, you know, what it's growing on, first of all, because they're tree specific a lot of times. And then you look at, you know, how the gills are attached, whether they're attached to the stem or they're not attached to the stem, whether there's a veil underneath the gills. And then, you know, the obvious thing, the color and, you know, the overall shape of it, the size. So there's several different characteristics and you want to get 100% check with all of them. And then you also want to do a spore print. So at night, once you pick your mushroom, you put it on a piece of white and black paper, and then you look at the color of the spore. And that will be more like
100%. And those just fall off the mushroom.
Yeah, spore's a reproductive organ. So just like it's the close equivalent I would say in a flower would be like it's pollen.
Okay.
But it it's its reproductive organ. So it releases spores and then the spores are what, you know, fly away, go to another tree, and then turn into the mycelium and start kind of growing in that tree.
Wow. Interesting. So you suggest those. Did they have dangerous lookalikes out there?
Oysters, I don't think so. Oysters like a bracket fungus, so it's going to be growing on the tree. So I don't think there's any dangerous lookalikes. That, you know, the dangerous, there is a pure white mushroom that's dangerous, but it's always going to be growing on the ground.
Okay.
Oysters are going to always be growing in a tree on, you know, dead aspens is the most common. But they'll grow anything, anywhere. And as the seasons change, like if you find an oyster in late fall, one time I even was like confused because I found an oyster in late November, and it was almost like a dark gray color. And I thought, God, this looks exactly like an oyster. But oysters can come in all colors, but typically they're like a beautiful off-white color. So in the midsummer, usually around June, a very big delicacy, which is huge in France, because even a lot of the mushrooms in France will grow here. We're at the same latitude as the chanterelle.
Oh, yum.
And chanterelles have this apricot fruity smell, and they're so delicious. And they're easy to identify because they're bright, bright yellow. And then you, again, have to look at the way the gills attach and all these other details. Look at the spore print. It should be like a light kind of pinkish color. And you're going to look, and now there's a lot of like Facebook pages that have mushroom identification. You know, I have a lot of mushroom ID books.
I know I've bought you a few books.
Yeah.
It's always a good gift for Priya, a mushroom book.
I know. I have like, I remember when I first started, and I've been doing this for about 10 years. You know, some people would give me books and I'm like, wow, these are like scientific books. And I would just look more like at the picture books to start with, just looking and learning the pictures. And now I look at the picture books and I'm like, no, these are like children's books. And now I want like the total geeked out books with all the Latin names and stuff like that. So another great one to look for in Michigan, and it comes throughout the summer, is called the sulfur shelf. Hmm. And again, the lay term of that is called chicken of the woods because it literally, you know, tastes like chicken, and it's easy to identify because it's bright orange.
So I'm glad you just said that, because that is something as a vegetarian I really enjoy about mushrooms, is that consistency. It's almost like a meaty consistency. Yeah. I mean, if you think about portobellos and how people make portobello burgers, you know, it kind of has like that umph to it that we're missing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that craving gets satisfied through a mushroom.
Yeah, they're like, I like the word, they're toothy. You can like stick your teeth, like, you know, bite into it with that tooth. So sulfur shelves, they grow again on dead trees. They're bright orange. They're beautiful. Even if you don't eat them, take pictures of them because they're so, they're like, you know, nature's artwork.
Hmm.
And then the two probably most medicinal ones in Michigan we have are the maitake, or the hen of the woods, and the reishi.
Okay. So we found some reishis together
up
north, and they're typically on...
Well, they grow on a lot of things, but the most medicinal ones that we're looking for are on oak trees.
Right. And also a lot of times on the dead stumps and...
dead stumps. Yep. We find a lot of them is on hemlock, but... The really good, like, medicinal ones that we're looking for are the ones that are growing on oak trees. But, and you make, like, a tea with them. We made, I boiled them all day and made, like, a tea. I probably still have some of that frozen somewhere. Because when I make it, I make a huge batch because you slow boil it for hours and hours.
Very similar to bone broth.
Right.
You know, getting those nutrients out, because water will leach any of the nutrients of whatever you're boiling it with.
Yeah. And that's why they say even some of them, they do alcohol tincture, because the alcohol will pull out different long chain polysaccharides than the water won't.
Hmm.
So some of the components will be water soluble. The water will take out, but the alcohol actually will take out different components. So a lot of times when they make them, they first do a water soak, and then they do an alcohol soak to get out all of the benefits. That's why, I mean, mushroom hunting is so fun, and making these is fun. You know, it's like a hobby. It's probably my biggest hobby, but, you know, it's something you can spend lots of time on. So you can also just, again, buy a lot of the good medicinal qualities
online.
Like me,
lazy person.
Well, not lazy, but your interests are different.
I'm not spending my time. Yeah.
I mean, and I've had to spend 10 years studying these mushrooms, you know, and so if you're not passionate about it, just go buy the mixture and still get the benefits.
Right.
And
have a really good friend who will do it for you.
Yeah. And then leave more mushrooms in the woods for me to find. So another thing that really helped me on my mushroom hunting learning was joining mushroom hunting clubs.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. So I'm not necessarily like the clubbiest person, but here in Michigan, we have a Michigan Mushroom Hunters Club. And you go on forays. Foray is the word for going in the woods and looking for mushrooms.
Nice.
It's called a foray.
It's like hunting.
Yeah, yeah. And now in Michigan, a law passed a few years ago on public state land, you are allowed to get mushrooms and you're allowed to eat them and harvest them. You just can't sell them, but you're allowed to harvest them and it's legal any season. There's no specifics about that. So you'll go with the Michigan Mushroom Hunting Club and they will go out into the woods with you and everyone will be picking different mushrooms. And then the mushroom experts will actually like show you and identify and teach you about the mushrooms. And that's the best way to learn is go out with people that know about mushrooms and have them. And then you actually see the specimen. And then once you see it and feel it and touch it and smell it, when you see it again, you're like, oh yeah, I know for sure that's what it was.
Right. So we've already talked a little bit about food prep when it comes to making teas and those things. We have about a minute left. Any other really great ways to prepare your mushrooms?
I use them, like I said, as a meat substitute all the time. So when I had like a huge harvest this year of black trumpets, I made like tacos with it. I used the black trumpets as like quote-unquote the ground beef. Yeah, I ground them all up.
Right. You know, cut them up. First you washed them thoroughly because there could be a lot of dirt in there.
Right.
And then you cut them up and you just put them in a frying pan, right?
Yep, and saute them. Yep. And that is the one thing with wild mushrooms. The official rule is you always want to cook them because there's, you know, bacteria and stuff in the soil.
And cooking meaning frying or, again, when you're putting it in water and boiling it, you're getting that. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I mean, typically
so you don't want to just eat them.
Yeah. Yep. You don't want to eat them. Even when they're edible, it doesn't mean they're edible in the woods. It means you take them home, you clean them, you wash them, you cook them, and then they're edible and delicious.
That's perfect.
So I hope this opened you up to like enjoy mushrooms and not have this, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. It's a great way to spend a day. And if it's a terrible day mushroom hunting, you still have a beautiful day in the woods.
Yeah, that's no joke. Yeah. Perfect. I know we've had a lot of times together like that, and I look forward to more in the upcoming years. You know, if you want to learn more about Priya, she has a website. The Nutrimetrics, you want to tell them?
Yeah, my Nutrimetrics is my website, www.nutrimetrics.com/Priya, P-R-E-Y-A.
Yep.
You can look on the link and you'll see it on my bio.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being here. We'll do another again soon. I love having you on. You're always full of knowledge. And I really hope listeners, you know, learned a little something about a way you can start looking for mushrooms or maybe buying a book or maybe looking into a club locally, you know, just kind of opening your eyes to the healing benefits, the medicinal benefits of mushrooms. And hopefully this is something that you can start incorporating into your life. Maybe just buy one or two and try it out and see how it works for you. We'll see you next week. And with that, we say goodbye. Thank you for listening to the Cassie Sobelton Show. I hope you heard at least one easy health upgrade on today's show that you can immediately implement into your life. Remember, over time, implementing small health upgrades will make a big difference in your health. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Cassie Sobelton. For more information or to hire me as a speaker or wellness consultant, please visit CassieSobelton.com. See you next week.
This is a previously recorded episode.